The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain is an expert in engineering as it relates to the ever-changing environment of media. Dave Scammell is the CEO of SohoNet, a company with a worldwide operation, clients in Australia, New Zealand, Los Angeles, New York, London, and mainland Europe. As a profitable privately owned company, SohoNet provides the largest and most flexible solution for secure high-speed connectivity for the media industry. Fascinating area. SohoNet has offices in Sydney, Los Angeles, London, and Pinewood Studios. Joining us on the line from Los Angeles is Dave Scammell. He's the founder and CEO of SohoNet. David, welcome to the Small Biz Brain.
Nice to meet you.
So what events led to your involvement initially with this whole world of connectivity in the media?
That's quite an interesting story, but I'll try and keep it brief. For many years, I worked for a company that was manufacturing equipment for the media industry. And one of the growing trends we saw was that people wanted to work much more collaboratively. They wanted to work with people in different countries. They wanted to look at co-production deals. And in order to do that, suddenly connectivity became a real big issue. And I got very interested and very involved in that. Through various iterations ended up working at SohoNet initially for a small telco that owned SohoNet. The little bit of background of SohoNet was that it was set up by about 12 post-production houses in London, and the phrase that I always use is that SohoNet was set up in spite of the telcos. Basically, none of the telecommunication providers, and this is going back to about 94, 95,
yeah.
Could provide the kinds of services that the industry was looking for at the time. So they started, you know, looking to see, well, what could they do themselves? In around 2000, they got bought by a small UK telco that could see that there was some interest here in providing dedicated services for the media industry. But unfortunately, and as has proven to be the case ever since, telcos really don't have a good enough understanding of the production and the post-production process
right.
to know quite what needs to be provided. So I got involved, in fact, with that small telco to try and help them establish what they could do, and then a few years later it became quite apparent that that SohoNet was going to be operating much better independent of a telco, so I led a management buyout, and that was about 5 years ago.
David, is it a matter of the pipe, or if you could share with us, those of us who are not technical, what is missing in the telco system that prevents intense amounts of information to travel for post-production in the film industry?
Oh, it's a combination of business models and technology.
Okay.
Essentially, the post-production and the production industry, they demand an extremely high level of service. Anyone that's worked in the industry knows that how deadlines work. You know, they're by hours and days, not by months. Things change. They change very rapidly. And the requirements for the amount of data that are moved around that they've always been huge, but these days they've become exceedingly large. And in a very, very simple way, that the sort of technology side of it is best understood by explaining that the material that's moved around, whether it's for people on the internet or whether it's for corporations, tends to consist of very large numbers of quite small files. So when people talk about, you know, I've got a very, very, you know, large connection, it's actually to run lots and lots of small files around very quickly. Think of banks, you know, millions and millions of transactions are taking place. However, this industry works on the fact that, well, actually, I've got a two-hour movie. It's a, you know, couple of terabytes file, and I've got to move this very quickly.
Yes.
It's one very large file, and
yeah.
The kind of traffic profiles and the way that, you know, most of the networks and are built around the world, are not designed to cope with that. The internet, for example, is not sure if people understand how it's described, but, you know, the internet is built as a best effort network. It's been designed to ensure that everyone can get a piece of the action, even if it's only very small, whereas... and so, you know, sometimes it takes a little longer to get your email than other days. In general, that doesn't matter when you're dealing with lots of small files, like lots of small emails. But when you're a producer that's waiting to see your dailies come down and the very small difference in time translates to it taking an extra 2 or 3 hours to transfer, then that becomes a huge issue.
In terms of SohoNet, what are the range of services that you provide? You've described the running of dailies to a producer that might want to have a look at yesterday's shoot, but what are some of the other applications that you're working on with your company?
We kind of describe ourselves actually as experts in any aspects of moving large amounts of data around for this specific industry, for the media industry. And as such, I mean, I just stepping back a little bit from what I was saying earlier about sort of what makes us different from a telco, the service offering comes first and foremost. The infrastructure that we built is what we have to have in place to offer the service or certain parts of our service. The kinds of things that people want to do is anything from, as I described, moving around dailies. It could be from wanting to have your editor in a remote location and editing up the material as if he was on set. We have people moving DI material, if you're familiar with that, digital intermediate. Basically, that's material that may have been captured on film or digital, but is then being color corrected and post produced in the digital form.
Yes.
This might be moved around between several, you know, different locations. The whole production process now is very much a collaborative effort. So, you know, the audio may be, you know, coming from one place, the editing in another. Visual effects is another huge area for us. You know, the visual effects work could be carried out typically for a largish movie, you know, between half a dozen different post-production houses. And there's a need there not just for them to all, you know, have access to the material and send it to and from the production, but for the production to be able to, you know, bring it together in a way that they can make sure that, you know, everything is compatible, that they're on schedule, et cetera. We run the service right down to the level of, you know, productions move into temporary production space, maybe at a studio like Pinewood Studios or maybe at somewhere like Tribeca Plaza in Los Angeles. And they'll have a small visual effects team. They'll have an editorial team. They'll have an accounts team. And each of those teams will actually have different networking requirements. And we will talk to them and we will actually make sure that they all get the kind of connectivity that they need without interfering with each other. So it's a very, very broad spectrum.
We're visiting with David Scammell, who's the CEO of SohoNet, a company that moves very large amounts of data for the media and motion picture industry. The website, www.sohonet.co.uk. Not sure exactly how to ask this, but how do you design the networks that connect the different points that you need to connect for the motion picture industry?
I think if I explain a little bit about how we might put together a typical connection between somebody in London and Los Angeles and the kinds of issues that we deal with there, it might give a good illustration of what it is we do and what it is that makes us different from, you know, the software applications, the hardware accelerations, and the standard sort of telco networks.
Fabulous.
There's a huge issue in having very high bandwidth, very long links. It's to do with the latency of the link, and you know, that's the time taken for information to get to either end and back again. And any loss on the link at all can affect that and can affect the capability of moving the material very quickly. So what we tend to do is we have a facility in London that wants to get connected up. The first thing we have to decide is how do we get to that facility. And that's where we will bring some fiber into their building. If possible, and depending where they are, we will lay our own fiber. if we can't lay our own fiber because of the economics, if it's, you know, too long a distance, then we'll lease some fiber from somebody that will lease fiber, typically a telco. Well, there are quite a lot of other infrastructure providers now that will lease us just the dark fiber. And then we put our equipment on that fiber to light it and to ensure that we've got all our diagnostics on it and we can monitor and be absolutely sure that there's no packet loss. We know what the latency is. Then to get from, and that goes into one of our points of presence, what we call POPs in London. Then to get from there to Los Angeles, we actually have a number of different circuits that we lease from different carriers. Now, we very deliberately use several different carriers on diverse networks so that we are not susceptible to the kinds of problems that they might have individually in their network. And we're very, very careful about what kind of services we buy from these carriers. It's very specific. We keep it very simple. And we kind of know exactly what to ask for. Then we have the same issue when we get to Los Angeles. We need to get to the customer's building. The interesting thing is that, if those, what we call the last miles or the tail circuits, the last mile into the building,
yeah.
If that can be the most difficult part of the whole process, because anyone can get an internet connection in their building from the local incumbent provider, whether it's Verizon, AT&T, or BT in London. But typically, they'll be run through a very complicated network with lots of switches and lots of additional equipment that basically, to be frank, just gets in the way of what we need to do. So, once again in Los Angeles, we do the same as we would in London, which is that we find the most economic and simplest route to get into a customer's building. Now, once we've done that, and typically that will again be fiber that we light. Once we've done that, we have complete control of that end-to-end network, and it means that we've got good visibility. We can make sure that all of the technical issues I touched on, latency, packet loss, are under our control and not something that we have to worry about because there's a big Madonna concert live on the internet and everyone's streaming to it, or sure. There was a problem with one internet provider that's gone down that's put a lot of extra traffic on another thing. All of our routes are completely independent of the internet, completely under our control, and we know exactly what traffic is going backwards and forwards across it.
Sure. Fascinating work you're doing. Is the world you're living in and the way you're moving large files and large pieces of data around, is that going to hit the mainstream? I mean, can we expect any kind of material change in the way the internet connects with technologies or approaches like that SoHoNet uses?
Well, interestingly enough, we believe that what's going to happen is that, the network that we have, which is a dedicated network for a specific community,
right,
is potentially going to be a model that's going to roll out into other particular types of community. There are other, areas where this has already happened to some extent, banks will typically have built their own network just for that. The issue with the internet is it's one of those wonderful catch-22 situations that the more there is on the internet and the more capability, the more people are going to use it, and it tends to settle down to a kind of acceptable level. If you actually think about your internet usage these days, people are now using it to stream media directly to the home. There was a very interesting issue recently when the BBC iPlayer went live in the UK, because suddenly, the amount of internet traffic went up enormously, and a lot of the infrastructure and the compromises that are put into place in order to provide internet at a reasonable level, reasonable price point and speed, kind of went out the window.
Yeah.
So what we see happening is that the internet's going to get faster and faster. It does, people are 10 meg internet connection is sort of standard these days. But of course the problem is that's not enough anymore, because actually people need more than that.
So we keep rising the bar, don't we? We just The more we can do with it, the more participation there is, and the more the demand is fast.
And you know, the same thing's happening to us with within our network and our business, but we're able because of the way we've built our infrastructure. I mean, we have customers all around the world that we've taken from, you know, a 10 meg circuit that we've up to a 100 megabit circuit that we've then up to a gigabit circuit, and we now have some on 10 gig circuits that are looking even beyond that.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is that the way we do that, we can respond to those kinds of changes in hours or days at the most, as opposed to, you know, if you call up your typical telco provider and say we want to go from 100 megabits to a gigabit circuit, you're probably on a 3-month lead time, which tends not to work very well for a production.
Yep.
They've finished by then.
They're all done. Wow, fascinating work, David. By the way, I was going to ask, tell us a little bit about the structure of your company, how many employees, and what does the human capital look like?
We're about 25 employees worldwide at the moment. Most of those are based out of London, where we have our central engineering and R&D team. That's where the company was founded. Mm-hmm. But we also have staff here in Los Angeles and also down in Sydney. So.
Great. Well, it's really been a pleasure and fascinating work. Most of us don't get a chance to get an insight as to how the motion picture industry works. Our guest has been David Scammell. He's the CEO of SohoNet, the website www.sohonet.co.uk. David, thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America. If you'd like to find out about hosting your own podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.